Welcome to the Women's Hair Loss Project podcast, and I made this episode with the intention of sharing how I got comfortable in accepting the unacceptable, because that's kind of living with hair loss, is learning to accept the unacceptable. It's a difficult thing to do, but it's something that I think everybody is capable of, and nobody has to do it the same way. There's no one way for everybody to live their hair loss life. It's about knowing what your options are, having the information, and making informed and empowered decisions. This recording will also be on YouTube if you want to see me actually recording it later this week. But with that said, let's get into it. So I wanted to talk about basically what I think is one of the most difficult components for women to wrap their head around in dealing with hair loss. And that is in the ability of how can we be okay in this process if we have a genetic hair loss or an autoimmune hair loss that is not reversing. How do we live in this space of being okay and accepting what is really the unacceptable? And there was a time in my life for many, many years where I could not accept the unacceptable. I started losing my hair in 1999 when I was 21 years old, and I just couldn't process this. You know, I would pray, I would go to church, I'd pray to St. Jude, I'd do the 9 days and leaving the papers, asking for basically a miracle, because how could this be my reality? How am I going to live my life? How is my life over before it began? And I'm someone that was born with enough hair for 3 people. My hair was one of the most defining aspects of me for myself. I never had a bad hair day before my hair started to fall out when I was 21 years old. And that's the God's honest truth. I know everybody's story is different, and some people had thinner hair. And it's not that if you had thinner hair, it doesn't count. It's just that some people tell me they always hated their hair. And so when they found wigs, they actually got a little bit something extra because they could have hairstyles or do things that they couldn't do before. But that was never my experience. I'd roll out of bed and it looked great. I got charged extra to have my hair curled for prom. I was constantly complimented on this one attribute of myself. And I never in a million years could anticipate that this would be taken from me. How would I anticipate that? I didn't see hair loss in my family. As a matter of fact, my father didn't go gray. His sister didn't go gray. And some people may find that impossible, but it's some weird gene. I did go gray. You know, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll be like my dad and I won't even have to deal with graying. My father passed away in his late 70s, February 2022. And he didn't have a gray hair on his head. His beard went gray. But that's what was on my brain. Like, I'm gonna have to deal with gray. Oh, I hope not. Never in my wildest imagination could I anticipate that at 21 years old, this would enter my life. And I know this irrevocably changed the trajectory of my life or the choices that I made or the things that I did. And I talk about hair loss a lot for the express purpose of wanting to educate women, wanting women to not make the same mistakes that I made, you know, things that I regretted. I'm not against treatment. I'm pro treatment with proper education of what you're signing up for. You know, wigs are not the answer for everybody, not by a mile. And that is not something that everybody should feel they have to do. For those that it's life-changing for. It was life-changing for me. There's that part that I was thinking about yesterday. And I do go out now in my shaved head, which I shaved May of 2023 due to getting a second type of hair loss in 2022, which was an inflammatory alopecia, which I could not see coming from a mile away. But it got to a point, I do get asked this question, which is, how did you know it was the right time to shave your head? And the answer to that is I should have done it before I did it, but it got to a point that it had never done in previous years. It got to a point that it was so bad, I could no longer actually look at myself in the mirror. I had a beanie on my head 24/7. The way that it was falling out and the creature-ish pattern that was occurring was devastating for me. I would take pictures to torment myself to see if the loss was as bad as it was. And it was every single time. And there was no way I could make this stop. There was nothing I could do. There was no wig that was going to fix this situation. And that's why I think it's also important to notice that wigs aren't just like a solution. Like, it's the end all be all. Like, you put on your wig and on you go. I had already been wearing wigs since 2012. I'm very familiar with wig life. You know, everybody knew I wore wigs. I was very outward with it. But that didn't change the fact that I was in pain and suffering in a different way, in a new way, in an unexpected way from this new hair loss and trying to cope with what that entailed, trying to wrap my brain around this. But the way that I knew it was the time to shave my head was that my hair no longer served any purpose whatsoever. Basically, before, cut my hair short in 2012 so it could look like an edgy choice. Shorter hair just looks thicker. It made wig wearing easier and I saw less of the fall. I wanted it to kind of fall out in the shower and not have to see the fall, because seeing the fall was one of the most debilitating aspects of hair loss for me. And so I did that and I did my PRP and I just had my program. And that's how I was able to make this work for over a decade. But I used my hair in blending my wigs, my frontal hairline with female pattern baldness. Women typically will maintain the integrity of their hairline to a certain degree. And it doesn't actually take a lot of hair to blend a wig or a topper, but it does take some. And my hairline moved back and the sides blew out. And so I couldn't really make my close front wigs work anymore. So the type of wigs I wore were no longer helped by my bio hair. I would not even throw the trash out in my bio hair, meaning like I didn't want anybody to see me like that because it looked so bizarre. It was sickly, but it was bizarre. It was this this weirdo pattern that I can't even begin to explain that made me feel bad about myself, made my head misshapen. It just looked freaking weird. I couldn't look at it. I was brushing my teeth in my beanie, shower and put my beanie back on. And this is how I was living. So it didn't work for my wigs. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror and I couldn't even go throw the trash out. And mind you, all the years prior, I would go out both ways and in my wig, in my bio hair, my short hair, and I lived my life both ways. I didn't always have a wig on my head 24/7. I accepted that there were times of my life that my hair was just not going to look as good as it could with a wig. And I was okay with that. I made peace with that reality a long time ago. And that's how I made that work with wigs and my bio hair, not worrying about what I was going to do at the gym or the beach or a pool party. Sometimes I was just not going to look as I would have preferred, and I was comfortable in that. But now I couldn't even step 2 feet outside my door. I couldn't be seen that way. It looked, like I said, creature-ish to me. So there was no point anymore to my hair. It was hurting me more than any positive attribute it could possibly give to me. When you shave your head, it looks even. It conceals the loss. That is something that people really don't understand about a shaved head. And people will say to me, completely dismissive of my hair loss situation and everything that I've been through, well, it looks like you have plenty of hair on your head. As though you could actually tell that with a person's shaved head, which you cannot. The whole point of it being shaved is that it does look more. It does look even and it conceals the loss. But at any length, it looks like the worst cotton candy spider webs, but not even in a uniform fashion, in this creature-ish weirdo pattern. So that is how I knew it was time. I just couldn't pull the trigger on that for months prior to the time that I did, which was May 7th, 2023. But I was on my brain every single day. I was hurting because I knew the thing that I needed to do. I had been living with hair loss long enough to know that the quicker that we can get to doing the thing that we need to do, the faster we can get on with our life. And I was tormented in the fact that I was paralyzed. I was tormented in the fact that I could not move forward. I could not move forward in this. And I could not pull the trigger. I could not make this happen. And I couldn't figure out why I couldn't make it happen. It's some self-preservation mechanism not to let this part of us go, even though what I was letting go was actually just hurting me. So how I knew it was right the time was, and had thought about it all the time, was just that my hair had no purpose in my life at all. Do I love the shaved head? I absolutely do not. Do I still have to kind of look in the mirror and look for myself because this isn't what I'm used to seeing? 10,000%. This isn't how I love seeing myself. Do I go out into the world all the time this way? Am I comfortable in doing that? Yeah, I'm comfortable in doing that because I also, as I said before, accepted my thinning hair before in a short haircut and looking suboptimal. I got comfortable in realizing that I can be looking suboptimal and then have my wig life and make it work that way because I don't have to always look as I would have loved to have looked had I never lost a hair. And the reason why I have to be okay with that is because that's my reality and I'm not going to force myself into a wig every single moment of the day if it's not comfortable for me. Some people do. do, but I wasn't going to. So if that's your reality, like it is for me, then you have to get comfortable in realizing, okay, so sometimes I don't look as I would have liked to have looked. So yesterday I'm walking into Sprouts and I don't have my hair on. And actually sometimes I do have to put a beanie on because it's cold. That's the other thing you don't realize with, you know, take your hair off. Even when you have thinning hair, it's providing some warmth. When you have no hair, your head gets very cold. And as I'm walking in, and I know I'm sharing this story because I think people struggle with this idea of going out and being so concerned about what other people think. And whether I'm sharing this story about now or before with my thinning hair, you know, it's a little bit more prevalent and obvious now because it's shaved. That's certainly something that would be more dramatic in the eyes of other people. But I'm walking in and I'm not even thinking about the fact that, you know, I'm going to this supermarket, I need to get some chicken. I'm not thinking, I just didn't feel like wearing a wig. I'm not thinking about what will people think of me? What will people think of my shaved head? Because it looks even enough. It's okay enough. I made peace with this situation in how it looks enough. Like I said, like the way I used to live with the short haircut, I just couldn't deal with the creatures thing going on. I go out and I don't give it a second thought as to what other people are thinking about me in my shaved head life or in my wig life, because certainly there are plenty of times that my wig is going to look more like a wig. That's just a reality. I was at lunch on Saturday and I was looking at the reflection in the mirror that was behind a bar while I was waiting for everybody to arrive. And I was like, I snapped a picture and I sent it to a friend. I'm like, oh, my wig is looking like a wig right now in that mirror, because sometimes reflections are pretty harsh onto wigs and they capture more than the human eye can see. So are there points of my life that my wig is looking more like a wig? Yup. And that's just the way it is. But that it still provides me something. It makes me feel good. It gave me the ability to look more like myself and see myself in a way that I couldn't prior to wearing wigs. It empowered me to have the ability to not be stuck and held hostage to my hair loss. You know, you don't have to, you know, have a perfect wig. It doesn't have to not look like a wig 24/7, because it will at some points. Your hair on the way that it is, you know, whether you're wearing a beanie, maybe that's not your best look or whatever, getting comfortable and being okay with that this is the situation was the key to this. And I don't think that a lot of people are actually going to want to hear this, because it's like, I want my hair back. And I totally get that. But if you have zero possibility in the reverse, like complete reversal and spontaneous recovery of your hair loss, this is what your diagnosis is. Our choices are pretty limited. And we need to get comfortable in ourselves and being able to be okay with this situation and being okay with us. And that is not an easy thing to do. I will be coming up on 1 year of a shaved head in May, and I am still adjusting to this. This is not my best look by a mile. I don't love how this looks. I wish people understood that, how difficult this was for me. It was by far the most difficult thing I have done in my hair loss life. And I get dismissed quite a bit about my shaved head and in other ways. This journey has not been easy, and this is just a different phase of my journey. But I want women to be able to empower themselves in their own life with however they're choosing to live their hair loss life. If it's with a wig, if it's a topper, if it's not a topper, if it's fibers, if you're treating your hair loss, please, 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 please know the potential side effects. Know that if that medication or quote unquote treatment, because many of these things are advertised as treatments, have no possibility to work whatsoever. And I just posted a YouTube video about that a few days ago about diagnosis and treatment and the importance of diagnosis and proper treatment and not falling for false promises and things that just don't work. Because while there's a place for hope, I think false hope can be damaging. Getting honest with ourselves, getting honest with this situation, being comfortable in being what I call looking suboptimal. Sometimes I refer to it as my troll self, you know, where it's just not what I would like to see. You know, it's just like, okay, it is what it is. I can't say that that's fair. I can't say that life gave me a fair hand or you a fair hand at this. It certainly felt like a cruel joke to be given like amazing hair that everybody complimented with, a color that used to be good, and then have that taken away and lose basically all of my 20s because I didn't know how to exist in this space other than hoping and praying that all my hair would come back. But hope in itself is just, that's not a strategy. We have to take the steps that we need to take to be able to move ourselves forward. And part of that, again, is getting honest with ourselves. And I didn't find the ability to really begin to accept my hair loss until I started wearing wigs, because it wasn't a cure, but it provided me the ability to have a tool to not be a hostage to just what was growing out of my head or lack of growing out of my head. I could do something with that. And it doesn't matter if people in your life get it. It doesn't matter if they get what you do to your bio hair, if you cut it, if you shave it, if you're using fibers. It doesn't matter if they get your wig life, and you don't have to tell anybody about anything anyways. I found freedom in that because I never wanted to live under the thumb of somebody potentially finding out. So it just, I became more comfortable just letting everybody know. There's a lot of freedom in not having to feel like you're hiding. I'm not saying if you are, that's a bad thing. If you're comfortable with how you live your life, that is what's important. But it wasn't comfortable for me. It was anxiety provoking. So that's why I had to get out of that. But we can make this work. We are capable of accepting what I say is the unacceptable. How do we accept this new thing going on? I'm still a work in progress with this shaved head situation, accepting this more, meaning accepting I accept this is my reality. I accept this is what I have to do. But I mean, I see myself in my reflection of the mirror and I'm just like, honestly, what the F is this? Like, how is this friggin' a thing? But it is. And so it is what it is. And I keep going, missing my Sprout story here. But as I'm going into Sprouts, I thought of this because so many women contact me all the time about concerns about people and what they're thinking and that's holding them back. But when I was going to get my chicken and my shaved head, although it was a little cold, I was thinking about the women that contact me. But I was thinking, you know, how do I convey how I've made this work? I got comfortable with presenting myself both ways, being that this is my reality. Nobody, by the way, cares. I know that that's a hard thing to believe. Do some people see me out in the world? And I'm sure some people have made up stories in their head about why my head is shaved. Sure. Maybe some people think I have an illness. And thankfully, I don't, like, you know, cancer or something like that. Maybe they think that. But nobody's like, you know, doing a major head turn or gawking or holy cow, what's going on your head? And if I'm having a bad wig day, by the way, nobody's saying anything about that either. My point is that I'm going on with my life as business as usual, because everybody else's opinions around me and whatever they're thinking in their heads, they're thinking it for 3 seconds and they will never think about me ever again. And we have to remember that. We have to live our life for us. Forget about worrying about what other people are thinking. They're worrying about themselves and picking up their salsa or whatever they're picking up. They're not thinking about, well, she's looking suboptimal in her shaved head, or, well, I think she's wearing a wig. Oh, she's got a wig today. If they do, it crosses their brain for a few seconds. It's in and it's out. If you get comfortable in the idea that people really generally are not paying attention because they're concerned about themselves, you can enter the world however you want. You can live your life however you want. You do not have to be a hostage to your hair loss. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And if you want to find me online, visit my website, womenshairlossproject.com. It has links to all the other places you can find me online. And I will talk to you guys soon.